God told us to come boldly before his throne of grace, which sort of amazes me. But we do it because we know who God is. And he is that gracious being who calls you and me to come back home again. So we're going to bow before him this morning in reverence and awe. If you're able to kneel, I invite you to do so. If not, bow where you are, and we will talk to our Father in heaven. Almighty God, our hearts are overwhelmed this morning as we contemplate the unthinkable, that God himself should die our death on the cross, that we might be able to live through eternity with you in perfect peace and happiness. Oh God, how we love you for who you are, for your righteous character, for your compassion and forgiveness to us sinners, for your love for all mankind and your whole creation. Lord, we regret where we have sinned against you and against each other, and we ask for forgiveness this morning. We do desire to be like you. We pray for the Holy Spirit to come and live inside each one of us, that we might be changed day by day to be more and more like you. And Father, we want to share your love with the dying world all around us. So we pray this morning for opportunities that we might be able to influence someone else to make a decision for you in your kingdom. And now, Lord, as we do what you have asked us to do and celebrate as a reminder of what you did for us this communion service, Lord, may everything said, may everything done, everything sung here this morning, and everything prayed bring honor and glory only to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. It is a beautiful day outside, and it's a beautiful reminder of God's love for us. The title of today's message is In Remembrance of Me. And as we saw in the scriptures that we just looked at, Jesus invited us to celebrate communion in remembrance of him. When my wife finds out I'm going to the grocery store, and she says, "Don't forget to buy some bread." What is the one thing I need to make sure I come home with after that trip? I heard juice. I need to make sure I bring home the bread. Otherwise, things are not going to go well. And I've got little things jotted here on my sermon notes that are reminders. Don't forget this. There's a little notice here reminding me not to move the microphone. When we're challenged to remember something, it's because it's important. There's a reason for it. And there are a number of things in the Bible where God called for us as his people to remember something. The Sabbath day is one thing that God called for us to remember. And another is the Lord's Supper that we're remembering today. When God says to remember something, that's a pretty good clue that it's probably important. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you for the Lord's Supper. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for his sacrifice for us. And I thank you for your word that tells us about him. I pray that you'll be with us as we have this short sermon, this short time of reflection before we move into the service. I just pray that you will please be with us. Please be our teacher. Please be our guide. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Martin family, there have traditionally been three very important meals. Martins love to eat. We eat lots, and we eat fast. We love food, and there are special meals in the Martin family culture. One of those is Thanksgiving. If you come to any of the Martin households, we make a big deal out of Thanksgiving. There are preparations going on for many days, many hours, and even days before Thanksgiving arrives. Another special meal is at Christmas. Similar thing, lots of preparation, lots of getting everything together and everything just right for that special meal together. And historically, a third very important Martin meal has happened at the Martin family reunion. You get a bunch of us together, all the different families, all the clans of Martins coming together, and we can demolish an incredible spread of food when you get enough of us together in one place. We love meals. It's part of bringing family together. It's part of spending time together, trying recipes and traditional foods and having a wonderful time together. Meals are important to us. And I dare say they're important to many of us, that we probably all have traditional meals, traditional holidays that are associated with a special meal. The same is true of the Bible. There are three special meals recorded in Scripture. Three meals that are vitally important to the people of God. The first one is found in the book of Exodus. I would invite you to turn to Exodus chapter 12. I'm not going to read the whole section. If you're interested in learning more about this first meal, I'm going to tell you the chapters that you can read for yourself. But Exodus chapter 12, we're going to look at the first of these three important meals. It is the Passover. You've heard of the Passover. You're familiar with the Passover. And just to summarize the story, in Exodus 12 and Exodus chapter 13, God was preparing to bring his people out of Egypt, where they were slaves. God had sent plague after plague after plague on the Egyptians, and the Egyptians had been resistant to that. And so God was prepared to send the worst plague of all, which was a destroying angel that would smite the firstborn in each of the homes. Just one moment. I love when everything is blossoming out, but I start to get a little bit of allergies. Feeling a little something in my throat here. Excuse me. And God was prepared to send this destroying angel out into the land of Egypt in order to protect his people from being affected by this destruction. God set up this institution called the Passover. He invited the people to take a lamb, to kill the lamb, and they were to prepare it, they were to eat it, and they were to mark their door with the blood of the lamb. And they were spared. Everyone who did so was spared. The angel would come by, and the angel would pass over the homes that were marked with blood. And God worked a great deliverance for his people. The Egyptians were overwhelmed. They were so distraught, they let the children of Israel go, and they were delivered, they were free. And there were still a few hiccups along the way, but that's when they were allowed out of Egypt. And you can read just a short summary of this, just a short little snippet in Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 through 23. It says there, "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, 'Pick out and take lambs for yourself, according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out from the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and over the doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you.'" And God instructed the people after this great deliverance. Moses instructed them to remember this Passover. Every year they were to celebrate the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, to remember God's deliverance out of Egypt and how he had passed over and spared them from destruction, how they had been saved by the blood of the Lamb. This meal was meant to be a memorial of Israel's deliverance from bondage. But it was more than just a remembrance of an event in the past. It was also a symbol, a type, if you will, that pointed forward to the sacrifice of Jesus, the ultimate Lamb whose blood was shed for your sins and mine. The Passover pointed forward to Jesus. In one of the books of Jewish writings, the Mishnah, it describes what a Passover meal looked like. They would take a lamb and they would roast it. They would have unleavened bread with the lamb. They would have bitter herbs and vegetables. Bitter is not something we do a lot here in American culture. We don't like bitter food. But bitter was an important flavor for the Passover meal. It needed to be bitter to remind the people of their time in Egypt. And it also included several cups of wine or grape juice. And this was what they would traditionally eat. This is what the Jews ate for 1,000 years after the Passover. This was the typical Passover meal that Jesus would have had when he gathered with his disciples to celebrate the Passover. And let's turn there. Let's turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, we're going to look at verse 12. Second book of the New Testament, Mark chapter 14 and verse 12. The scriptures say there, Mark 14, 12. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?" And then there's this whole story. There's a whole miracle of how they got a room that they hadn't reserved, but there was a room prepared for them to gather together to celebrate the Passover. They would have had a roasted lamb. They would have had their unleavened bread. They would have had the cups of new wine. They would have had the herbs and the vegetables. They ate their meal together. And then we read in verses 22 through 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. Then he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This introduces us to the second important meal in Scripture. The first is the Passover. The second is the Lord's Supper. The Passover pointed forward to Jesus' death as our Lamb, our sacrificial Lamb whose blood was shed for us. That Passover that Jesus celebrated with the disciples was functionally the last Passover. It was the last one before he would die, before the lamb would actually be slain. So as they celebrated the last Passover, Jesus celebrated the first Lord's Supper. This meal was given to commemorate the great deliverance accomplished by the death of Jesus Christ. And Jesus instructed that this was to be followed. We as Christians, as his followers, were to continue to do this until he returned. Jesus took the same emblems of the Passover meal, the unleavened bread, the cups of new wine. He took those emblems that had pointed forward to him as the Lamb, and he gave them a deeper meaning. He showed a deeper significance within these symbols. He, the one that they pointed to, now gave them a new meaning as a new celebration. The Passover Supper was followed by the Lord's Supper. Now, why do we take a little time before the communion to have a little sermon? Why do we take time to talk about this? Why not get straight to the point, get straight to the food? You know, if you're a Martin, that's kind of the Martin mindset. Less talk, more food. So why talk? Why this discussion? I'm sharing with you to remind you that this is not simply a tradition. It's not simply a ritual we do once a quarter just for funsies, just because we've done it, just because it's something different, some nice variety in our menu of church services. No. The Passover and the Lord's Supper both are meant to remind us of two very important things. The first is the reality that sin is very costly. Sin cost our universe Christ's life. Jesus had to die to save us from our sins. Our sins, brothers and sisters, are very costly. It cost the Son of God his life. The other important thing that these meals remind us of is that Christ the Lamb was slain to pay the price, to save and to deliver us. Our sin is very costly. Sometimes we gloss over that too much. It's so easy to sin that we gloss over it. We minimize it. But sin is costly. It took the life of our Savior to pay for it. Each sin costs heaven dearly. It's important to stop and remember the cost and the great price that was paid. And before we partake of the Lord's Supper, there are several things that we each need to do. The first is self-examination, to stop, to reflect, to look at our hearts and lives, to remember how God has led us, to pray, to consider if we are doing as God would have us to do. So self-examination. The second essential component is confession of sin. As we look at our life and we see areas that we have fallen short of the perfection of Jesus Christ, we realize our sinfulness, our need. So we reflect, we confess our sins. And finally, we need to pursue reconciliation. Jesus taught that if we have a sacrifice at the altar, if we remember that our brother or our sister has aught against us, we should leave our sacrifice and go and make that thing right. And in the same way, before we partake of the Lord's Supper, we need to ask, is there anyone in my church family? Is there anyone that I need to reconcile with? Is there anyone that I need to go to and say, I'm sorry? Someone that I need to go to and say, hey, you know, something's not right between us. I want to make it right. What can I do? So we need to examine ourselves. We must confess our sins. And we must seek reconciliation. Once this is done, we may freely partake of the Lord's Supper. So we've talked about two meals. A past meal, the Passover. A present meal, the Lord's Supper. What's the third meal? Jesus promised a third meal that will one day take the place of the Lord's Supper. We can read about that. Well, it's hinted at, actually, in verse 25 that we just read, Mark 14:25. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Here, Jesus is making a promise that one day he will sit down with us and we will be able to drink the fruit of the vine together. He is speaking of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I just want to share that promise with you because this is special. There is so much bad news in the world today. There is so much stressful stuff going on. We need some promises. We need some good news in our life. And here is one of them that we can find in God's Word. Revelation 19, verses 6 through 9. It says here in God's Word, Revelation 19, verse 6, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. You ever been in a crowded room and all the voices get louder and louder and louder and louder and louder? It might happen in fellowship meals sometime. The multitudes can be very, very loud. But there's one voice that's louder than all other voices, than any multitude. He heard the voice as of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and the sound of many thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the bright linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he who said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. One day there is going to be a great celebration. You've heard the loud voices in a wedding at the reception. Everybody is happy and everyone is excited. There's going to be a day that's even louder than that. Multitudes of voices crying out in praise to God. And there is going to be a wonderful meal on that wedding day, better than any wedding feast we've ever enjoyed in this world. And Jesus is looking forward to sitting down at that meal and visiting with you, spending that meal with each and every one of us. I don't know how long that meal is going to take for him to get around and greet everybody, but he said he's going to do it. He's going to greet and welcome each one of us. He's going to drink that fruit of the vine with us. I don't know the logistics of it all, but that's what he promised. Jesus wants to celebrate that future supper with each one of us, with you in heaven. Do you want to be there? I know I do. If we want to do that, if we want to receive that gift, if we want to be a part of that wonderful marriage supper, let's do what God has instructed us to do, to search our hearts, to confess our sins, to reconcile with one another. That's the work that he has given us right now. Now is the time for this. Not tomorrow, not next year, now. This is the moment. This is when the sacrifice has been offered. This is our opportunity to partake. If you want to do this, I invite you to bow your heads with me as we pray a prayer together. Father in heaven, we pray the words of the psalmist when he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Our Father, we are so often blind to our own faults, so often blind to our own defects. We ask that you will please search our hearts, that you will please show us the path you want us to go in, that you will please show us the things that we need to surrender and give to you, the changes that need to be made in our lives. Please show us the people that we have hurt, the people I have hurt, that I need to go and say I'm sorry to. And I pray that you will bring us as a church family closer together, that if there are divisions, there are conflicts, controversies, that you will break down those barriers. We want to be united just as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are united, just as Jesus prayed. So, Father, please be with us as we partake in the ordinance of humility, as we wash one another's feet, and then as we gather together here to partake of the Lord's Supper. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we celebrate the Lord's Supper,